Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, Tuesday edition. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We have got a bevy of different topics to dive into today. We run across the gamut. The recall election is going on today in the state of California. What will or will not happen? Why does it matter? We will discuss the ongoing Afghanistan debacle brought to a head with Secretary of State Tony Blinken testifying in front of Congress. We will discuss what, if anything, we learn there. The House Democrats have released their budget. What does it look like? How significant are many of the decisions that are being made, and what might or might not actually be passed, and what will occur as it impacts your family? We will discuss that. We have got a fantastic guest who has an op-ed today in the Wall Street Journal discussing natural immunity. He is Dr. Makari from Johns Hopkins University. He has been on with us before. He will join us at 1:05 Eastern to talk about many of the failures surrounding America's COVID policy. But we begin, Buck Sexton, with rank hypocrisy in your home city of New York. Let me kind of set the scene here, and you can also help me because you've dealt with events like this your entire life. So I know I've never been to the Met Gala. It is a massive fundraising event that costs more than your average, you know, apartment building, it feels like at times, of families will earn in a year. $250,000 for a table, $30,000 for a ticket. And people wear all sorts of outlandish outfits to this gala as they walk up the stairs at the Met, which is a high-end art establishment in New York City. And AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, showed up in a white dress, red writing. It said, "Tax the rich," and it exploded across the political landscape. Let me play you the audio of AOC making her continuing failing attempts at political arguments. Here is AOC explaining why she went to the most exclusive and expensive event of the year, just about in all of New York City, wearing a tax the rich dress.
When Aurora and I were first kind of partnered, we really started having a conversation about what it means to be working class women of color at the Met. And we said, you know, we can't just play along, but we need to break the fourth wall and challenge some of the institutions. And you know, while the Met is known for its spectacle, we should have a conversation about it.
A conversation about it, Clay. That's what she's sparking with the tax the rich dress. Okay, let's break this thing down for a second. First of all, there was also the issue of none of the Met patrons, and it's the Metropolitan Museum of Art, one of the most famous museums in the world. The Met steps are very, very well known. They're in tons of movies and TV shows. And this is the most exclusive social event, generally speaking, some would say in the world. It raises about $10 million for like a costume. I forget what the nonprofit is, but it's really just like Vogue and Hollywood and all the fanciest people in the world go to this one party. And Clay, the staff are all masked. The servers, yes. The ushers, the security, they have to be masked. But the patrons, the people that are going to this ultra fancy party, I mean, this bacchanal of the most elite people in certainly left wing Hollywood media society and politics you could possibly find, they don't have to wear masks. There's no science behind that, as we know. So right. We start with that they're gallivanting around. I have a feeling, and I know you asked me about this before the show, we're not going to have Fauci come out with, you know, they were really reckless with. No, of course not. Somehow, Clay, Fauci never says anything to insult his constituency, which is the elite lib apparatus of control.
He never spoke out about Obama's birthday party. He has not going to speak out about the Met. But yet, when you go to a college football game, oh, Fauci says it's unacceptable. And to your point, the rank hypocrisy here is on multiple levels. You have the mostly poor people who are servers, theoretically,
working
who cannot
class.
Afford. Yeah, working class, who cannot afford to actually ever go to these events that are required to wear a mask. And you also require all of these kids that have now started school in New York that are going to public schools, I think a million of them all over the city, they're required to wear masks, and now they're going to have to eat outdoors like all through the winter. I mean, this is all madness.
This is real Marie Antoinette let them eat cake level stuff. And as you and I know, as people like history, there's no record of her actually saying it, but it's one of those stories.
It's a great
metaphor.
It's
a great story. It's a great, right. We love it, even though Marie Antoinette actually never really said that and has been turned into kind of a distant villain because of. But anyway, it is a let them eat cake moment. We'll just go with the storyline here, because in New York City, Clay, I have friends, just was texting one yesterday, who's got kids in the school system here, right? Remember, in the city where this ultra fancy party,
yes,
where people, I mean, and also people just show up. I mean, they're dressed like clowns. The whole thing, yes, is absurd. It's not actually aesthetically elite and people, the glamour and all this stuff. No, it's all sort of social justice, woke bull crap, and all these people pretending that people who are there are so impressive, and they're really not. But just step back from that for a second. You have kids in New York City, Clay, who are back in school. They're still disinfecting surfaces everywhere.
Yeah. Even though we know that it doesn't spread via surface, right? The data actually reflects that.
Plexiglass dividers in place.
Yes.
They're still social distancing. They're telling kids in New York, which is the largest public school system, obviously, because of population in the whole country, they're telling them to be prepared to eat their lunch outside for the rest of the year, which would take us deep into the winter. You're going to have little
kids, yes,
freezing their butts off outside so that vaccinated, hysteric, neurotic adults who are protected by the teachers' unions and therefore part of the Democrat power apparatus don't go to bed worried at night about getting the COVID from the kids because the kids are little germ machines. This is what New York City has been turned into now by the crazy libs. Where is Fauci on this one? He's a little coward, kind of like how he won't come on this show, even though we've now reached out to the White House. He'll do every show but this show.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
of course.
I guess some conservative
virtually
shows.
Virtually every show but this one. But this is to me the essence of, here's the other thing that I love and or hate about this situation in general, Buck. The media is all there covering these people as if they are heroes, when in reality, if you're an honest media person in New York City, shouldn't you be wondering, hey, how come all these super rich people can show up, not wear masks, gallivant about for a night of fun, and all of these kids, and frankly, all these other places in New York too, people can't live their normal lives, right? Like this is, and I always wonder, and I'm curious what you think about this too, are we playing into AOC's hands by even talking about this, right? Because the thing that's frustrating about this is AOC's base is like, oh, it's so brave of her to show up in a tax the rich dress. She looks fabulous. Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And like those people all think she's amazing.
No, I don't think this was, I mean, to anybody who's not a moron, she looks like a moron. I mean,
yes,
that's the reality. Now, you're never going to reach the idiots on the left who think that, I mean, AOC, whatever it is. I mean, she could walk into a room, trip and fall, and get up, and they would say that it was, you know, balletic and amazing, and she's a genius.
Right.
It doesn't matter, right? But if we're talking, there are two groups, Clay, that by pointing out being at the most elite social gathering, and when I say elite, it's elitism. I'm not impressed by these people. I don't like these people. I don't want to be one. You know, I went to the White House, which is, you know, way like many levels of celebrity coolness below. I mean, it's, you know, they call it nerd prom, but they mean because, oh, we're actually so
the
smart.
White House correspondents.
They're actually just jokes. But I went when I first started in media a decade ago, and I said, I'm never going back to this thing. It's appalling. And now, of course, a lot of conservatives won't go because we've seen the way that they just rip on Republicans and the whole thing. But Clay, with AOC, we're speaking to, one, everyone who listens to this show, everyone who lives in reality and sees things,
yes,
for what they are, we do need to remind them that this is who is lecturing you about how you need to pay higher taxes and America's so racist. And people who are at the top of the power structure, who are luxuriating in their trips to the Met Gala and the Hamptons and their private jet travel and flying around in the helicopters and getting seven-figure book deals for books that no one's going to read, never mind buy. And they want to lecture all the rest of us about how awful we are. We need to tell the people that see this for what it is, you're right, you're not the crazy ones. And then to your point that you often make, those who are still open to having their minds persuaded, they need, because this is a blunder. This is, Talleyrand? This is worse than a mistake, it's a blunder, or it's worse than an error, it's a blunder. That's what this is. She looks utterly buffoonish. And I'm sorry, I mean, the most powerful voice in the Democrat Party right now, certainly not Joe Biden, it's probably AOC when you're talking about at least the ability to direct the media narrative. And she's just not smart, Clay. She's just not very smart. And I guess people don't care.
I think that's true, too. What do you think she is thinking as she wakes up this morning and today?
Like, she's amazing, and she's fighting for working class people by wearing a multi-thousand dollar gown.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you think she thinks that her tax the rich dress was a wild success?
I mean, at some point, you know, what you see with her is also this melding of a politician who's really a celebrity, right? Become celebrities. Yes. She's really like a celebrity who is a politician now. I know she got into politics first, and that's how she made her name.
I think it's an interesting perspective, right?
Yeah, but
how cognizant is she of what people think about her, and does it in any way matter? Because celebrities, it really doesn't, right? It's just about the reason why you wear a ridiculous dress to the Met is so people will talk about you.
Attention. Yeah. But there is, because of her involvement in actual policy discussions, and she does wield a vote in Congress and does have actual government power at some level and a taxpayer-funded staff and all the rest of it, she's supposed to at least stay within some bounds of intelligence and normalcy in what she's doing and what she's saying. But I think that what she does here is it's a perfect distillation of the hypocrisy and the sanctimoniousness that are really the defining characteristics of the modern elitist Democrat. That this is who they are. We're social justice warriors in fancy gowns at the Met Gala who are going to go hang out afterwards with Clooney and Jay-Z. This is who we are as elite Democrats. But we care so much about the poor. Not enough to support police so there are fewer shootings, so fewer working class people get shot, or to keep schools open during the pandemic while they were sending their kids to private schools. This is, M. Clay, in every socialist society, in every communist society, this kind of grotesque stratification of those at the top pretending they care about those below, not saying we're creating a meritocracy, not saying that the laws apply equal to everybody. No, we have to be at the very top because we're the revolutionary arm. We're the vanguard of the progressivism here, and we need some perks. We need some fancy gowns at the Met Gala. This is the Democrat Party, right? You're seeing it right now.
I absolutely loved it when I saw it last night on social media, and I was just trying to think what the Nancy Pelosi's and the people who are trying to appeal to moderate Democrats, because we need to talk about the budget, which is taxing the rich. That's their plan, and what the impact of that's going to be. But how much of a distraction is she amid all of this? And we also need to tell you, going online without ExpressVPNs, like offering to share your computer with a total stranger, hoping they don't take copies of your passwords and online accounts. ExpressVPN is the virtual private network, the VPN we recommend to secure your online emails and web activity. They have a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. That way, hackers can't steal your private data. Hackers want to because they're getting as much as $1,000 on the dark web for every identity they can sell. How do we help keep that from happening, Buck Sexton?
So easy. To secure your online data today, just visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. You can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. Go to the website right now. Protect your online activity. ExpressVPN.com/Clay and Buck. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, my man Clay, and I talking here about Democrat hypocrisy. But remember, folks, we have to point it out, but it won't change because it's not a bug, it's a feature. Of course they're hypocrites. What are you going to do about it, peasant? That's their attitude. They pretend to care about the poor while they spend all their time with the rich and trying to become very rich themselves. And it is, in fact, those who are striving, those who want the right to rise, who get caught in the vice grip of Democrat tax raises, spending, all the stuff that we're seeing right now. We know there's a basic certainty. Democrats are in charge. They're going to take more money from people who are working for it. And that's why you get the latest update here on who's going to be paying the taxes. AOC wears her tax the rich thing. This may come as a shock to her, although she makes plenty of money, so she's probably paying a reasonably high tax rate. And she's not yet at that Pelosi level where the taxes don't matter, because remember, they don't tax wealth, they tax earnings. It's people that are trying to build, people in their peak earning years who after 10 or 15 years are finally getting into those top income brackets for a period of time. They're the ones the government's always piling on. They don't go after the people who inherited $1 billion and are sitting on it, or Nancy Pelosi, super rich husband, or, you know, find me a prominent Democrat in Congress who talks about taxes. Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. I mean, America is a country where we're constantly being lectured by socialist millionaires. That's pretty much all you need to know. Meanwhile, Democrats want to tax more of our income in general. The top individual tax rate is supposed to rise. This is going, it's gone to the Ways and Means Committee, but this is what the bill is going to look like here. 39.6% up from 37%. The higher tax rate will kick in at $400,000 for individuals. That's down from $523,600 for individuals. And then there's more all over the place. I mean, they're raising the corporate income tax or corporate tax. Clay, who pays the taxes in this country? Because it's actually the people who are the demonized,
yes,
so-called the rich. Data. By the way, you make $400,000 in New York City, you're not even close to rich.
The bottom 50% of income earners, the bottom 50% pay 3% of all the federal income taxes in the United States. Think about that for a minute. Half of Americans pay just 3% of the overall. And then you compare that with the top 1%. The top 1% in the United States pays 40% of all federal income tax. So the top 1% by themselves pay nearly more than the bottom 50% combined right now. And the top two earning brackets, the top 5% of earners pay 60% of all federal income taxes. So, I mean, this is a pretty significant amount that they are already paying going forward. So tax the rich, AOC, you got your wish. It's already happening. But you know what? A lot of you may need to save money because you may not be rich yourself. And we can save you up to $800 a year with my friends at Pure Talk. We've done this in my own family where my son has a Pure Talk phone. It works fabulously well for him. And it can work fabulously well for you, too. Whether you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much for your cell service. $800 a year. How much would that make for your family? Same phone number, same phones even. All you have to do to get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for $30 a month is grab your phones right now. From your cell phones, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. 50% off your first month. That's #250. Say Pure Talk. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Big day in the state of California. For a long time, people said it would never happen, a recall election for Gavin Newsom. Well, it is happening today. If Gavin Newsom were recalled, Larry Elder would likely be the next governor of the state of California. Now, the polls, to the extent you can rely on the polls, suggest that Gavin Newsom is going to win his recall election. But certainly, the way that Democrats have mobilized makes it clear that they expect for this to be at least a somewhat challenging election. They have brought out all the big guns to campaign with Gavin Newsom all over California, including Well, they even got Joe Biden on an airplane to fly across the country, and he was in California yesterday. And Biden was saying, hey, if you vote for Larry Elder, you're basically voting for Donald Trump. Here's Biden yesterday.
This year, the leading Republican running for governor is a the closest thing to a Trump clone that I've ever seen in your state. No, I really mean it. And he's leading the other team. He's the clone of Donald Trump. Can you imagine him being governor of this state? You can't let that happen. There's too much at stake.
Isn't this so classic, Clay? Because California, from a governance perspective, and I have a lot of friends, particularly in L.A., but I also know a bunch of people in San Diego. I actually don't know many in San Fran. And even the ones who are Democrats will tell you that the state government is a total mess.
Yes.
That this is unsustainable.
One party rule is a disaster.
It's a disaster because there's no impetus. There can be no accountability when you have an entire state that has effectively become a Democrat enclave, and so you just choose one Democrat or another, and
that's
they're right. All totally in bed with the public sector unions, and they believe in the same social justice nonsense. You really have two Californias. You have the people who live close to the coast, who are very, very wealthy. I mean, you know, the average home price in California right now is over $800,000.
Yes.
The average
home price. And a lot of those homes, by the way, this blew my mind because I spent a lot of time working in L.A. with Fox Sports. So I've spent, you know, months or years just about living in California off and on in the past several years. And Buck, some of those houses that cost $1 million in California, you're like, yeah, I wouldn't even want to live there. And for people in the rest of the country who are hearing that, your mind explodes because when you hear for most of the country, oh, that's $1 million house, it has a certain connotation of excellence. In California, it's like mediocrity. Oh, it's wild.
It's like a $120,000 house in Oklahoma City. I mean,
that's what you
get for $1 million. I mean, look, the problems that California has, though, and this is, it reminds me in a lot of ways, Clay, of the Biden administration, which is that there are bad things that happen. And you can draw a very clear straight line between the bad outcome and the bad decision making rooted in the Democrat progressive approach or the Democrat leftist socialist approach, right? I mean, we're just talking about home prices. Why are home prices in California so high? It's not because everyone's moving to California and they love it so much. It's because the environmentalist lobby is very powerful in that state. I mean, I remember I was at a military base a long time ago when I was a CIA, and they talked about how they had to create, I'm not kidding, tunnels for turtles to go under the road leading to the military base because they were worried about the tortoises that would get hit by cars going in and out of the base. And this was a huge problem. They spent millions of dollars. And then they also built these fences because the tortoises, guess what? Don't go into the tunnels. They just go for the easiest thing. This is real. I sat through a whole briefing by the general on base about this. And then they realized that when they built the little, this was all because of the California environmentalist lobby. When they built these little tunnels for tortoises and the fence along it so they would go into the tunnels, they realized that the tortoises would get stuck in the fence. And then they were essentially like an open air barbecue for the predatory birds that would see them. And they just were like disaster after disaster because the environmentalists were saying they're going to kill all the turtles. That's why you have such high home prices in California, Clay. That kind of ideology over reality is why you have rolling brownouts, which, you know, are things you usually think of in the third world. California doesn't have enough power. You have water shortages. You have the horrible fire problem. California could not have been more poorly managed as a state for the last 20 years. And it's like the Democrats just keep saying, oh, but, you know, I'm cool. They don't care.
Well, this is the problem with one party rule in general, is that especially when it's Democratic one party rule, it leads to disaster. And that's the undergirding story here of why Gavin Newsom got recalled. It's because every single time they have a new, first of all, the population in California dropped for the first time ever as a state, right? I mean, I think that's pretty significant. But I'll tell you, here in Tennessee, Buck, and I've heard the same thing from realtors in Florida and in Texas and other states that are seeing massive influxes of people. Every time they come out with a new crazy COVID restriction, the phones blow up in all of these other states because parents and people, it's like the needle that the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the final little bit of detail. And that's ultimately what's going on here. They need someone to shake up the existing government. And look, I think we need to talk about when we come back in this next segment, what does victory look like? I mean, one possibility, obviously, is Larry Elder wins. And that would be a political earthquake of seismic proportions, if that happens.
I mean, you're a betting man, Mr. Travis. I think, what do you think the actual odds are on that right now? I think you'd probably get 3-1 odds again. And I'm Team Larry all the way. He's a great guy, great radio host.
I want everybody in California to go vote, but I would probably need, if I were putting down money, I'd need 8 or 9 to 1 to put down money on it happening. So for people out there, like, what does 8 or 9 to 1 mean? 10 to 15% chance, basically, of it happening.
I think that's probably based on all the polling where it is. But hey, you know, remember election night 2016, one of the greatest things of all time. What was the New York Times Hillary meter at? Was it 97% she's going to win or something? That was, I love that.
We don't know how valid the polling is. We don't know who's actually going to vote. We do know that they have sent as many mail-in ballots out as they possibly can and that they're ricocheting all over the country, not just in California. And there's been lots of misaddressed ballots. And we already know, we talked about yesterday, some of the challenges of people that are actually going to vote. But to me, one of the things to look at is whatever the margin is, right? Because Trump lost, not surprisingly, California in 2020 by a substantial margin. But I think it's fair to say in whatever it is now, almost the year since November of 2020, as we come up on 10 months plus of that since that time, overall Democratic support has declined substantially. So what will the numbers actually reflect in this recall vote in terms of the amount of people who can line up against Gavin Newsom? And what might that reflect about where the country is 1 year out?
This stuff is always hard, though, because you'll see that Congress, as a general proposition in terms of polling support, will be, you know, about as popular as a cold sore before, you know, going on a photo shoot or something. But then you'll find out, but all those people like their congressman.
That's right.
And, you know, my congressman's cool. It's just Congress in general. And in California, I think that any drop attributed in support overall for Newsom, people are going to, certainly the narrative from Democrats, but I think this may actually be the political reality, is that it's a lack of support for Newsom, not a repudiation of the fundamental beliefs of the Democrat Party in that state. There isn't the New York City Rudy Giuliani in the 1990s moment here, Clay. What happened in New York City? It got, and I was living here, I was a kid, I remember.
Yep.
It got so dirty and so dangerous that people of all political persuasions were willing to say, enough. We just need to clean this place up. We just need, you had black Baptist preachers who were reaching out to the Giuliani administration saying, you know, let's get police, you know, more involved. We want safe communities. You had, you know, Latino community members. You had everybody coming together saying, we got to make this city safe for everybody, right? And so there was a political will in California, man. I don't know. I think the tent cities in Venice and the stuff that's going on, all the heroin usage out in open air in Los Angeles on Hollywood Boulevard. We see it. It's gross. It's depressing. The thefts that are occurring broad daylight. But there are a lot of libs, man, who say, as long as I can put my hashtag BLM square on Instagram and I live in a safe neighborhood, I don't really care. So we'll see. I mean, I just
talk
get a
about
little
it when we come
it.
Back because I got an interesting theory here that I'd like for people to pay attention to. But first, what do you got for us?
Well, you know, we at the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, we love our dogs. Clay loves cats, too, but we love our dogs, right? And they're members of the family, so we want what's best for them. We want them to be around for a long time. That's why we don't want to feed them food where all the live nutrients has been taken out of it. That's what happens with dog food. It's supposed to be shelf-stable for a long time. No probiotics, no live active enzymes in the dog food that you're feeding your dog. And your dog, just like you, needs it. Your dog needs vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants, which is why you gotta add in Rough Greens right now to your dog's food. We just got a testimonial from Robert in East Petersburg, Pennsylvania, who writes, Luna loves Rough Greens. She never licked her bowl before we added Rough Greens. And not only do the dogs like the food better, they also are healthier. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they have a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/clayandbuck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/clayandbuck, roughgreens.com/clayandbuck.
Abandoning a Bagram airfield led directly to 13 Marines murdered in Kabul. You should resign.
Their blood is on your hands in this administration, sir. I call on you to resign.
I believe that you, sir, should resign. That would be leadership.
What do you want to hear that from the Biden administration?
Two words, I resign.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. There you just heard a number of Republicans on Capitol Hill calling for the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, to resign. And guess what? He is not going. I would be very comfortable putting a bet that he will not resign. Although, you know, who knew? You never know. But I think it's very, very unlikely. This is all about holding the Democrats accountable, holding the Biden administration accountable for the chaotic and to call it poorly planned is a gross understatement, withdrawal plan from Afghanistan. But all Blinken has to do, and I remember this, remember all the talk, all the members of Congress with Benghazi, and I said at the time, as soon as Obama won re-election, Clay, the idea of accountability for the debacle of Benghazi, in which four Americans lost their lives, any real accountability was gone. And here, if you want accountability, you have to go out and take power from these people in the midterm elections, because they're not going to hold themselves accountable. 13 Americans died in the midst of a chaotic withdrawal, you know, American service members in the midst of a chaotic withdrawal plan hit by a suicide bombing. No one has lost their job over that to this day, except, what was it, a lieutenant colonel who spoke out against the ineptitude of the senior leadership, Clay? That's what accountability under a Democrat administration looks like. Speak the truth and you get fired. Otherwise, you're part of the team. You keep your job. Maybe you get a nice book deal.
Yeah, and this is why I think sending messages in California can matter, right? Because how do you register your disapproval? How do you fire back in a big way right now? That's the question we get, I bet, Buck, more than any other from our listeners. So, and I got that question again whenever I'm out and about. I got it a ton from people in Arkansas. I'm going to be down in Florida this weekend. How do we get back to normal? I think it's one by living your life normally. It sounds simple, but by embracing normalcy in your own life, fighting for normalcy, fighting for the things that would have seemed very similar and simple and not outlandish before March of 2020. And one of those things is, if you're listening to us right now in California, it's not only removing Gavin Newsom that counts as a win. It's registering, I think, a massive increase in disapproval for his policies, right? Look, Trump lost in California by around 30 points, Buck. And, you know, he got 6 million votes. Joe Biden allegedly got 11 million votes, okay? 30-point deficit. Imagine if we got it down, as the Republican Party did, to 10 or 12 points. If it's a close election for California's sake, I think a lot of people are getting really nervous. And by the way, Dub, who is one of our producers on the show, texted me that at European offshores where, or European books where you can bet on politics, you can't legally bet on politics in America right now, really, that it's 10 to 1, basically, that that Newsom would lose and be removed from office.
That sounds about
right. Trump was in 16. I mean, not a lot of difference in terms of what odds you could have gotten on Trump being elected in 16.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? Donald Trump is not running for office, is not in office. I mean, as of now, he's not running, right? We don't know, but he is not in American politics. And yet the go-to move, just to give everyone a sense of how indoctrinated and how clearly true believers in the leftist orthodoxy Californians, Democrat Californians are, all they have to do is bring up the specter of Trump. Somehow tie Larry Elder to Donald Trump as if these are guys with similar stories, similar backgrounds. I mean, yeah, they have some similar ideas, but why is he the second coming of Trump or whatever? Well, because it gets all the libs scared and they're going to go out and vote against this. But notice there's not actually any argument to be made that Gavin Newsom, or for that matter, the Democrat Party of the state of California, is good at their jobs, is making it a better place to live, handles anything well.
Yes.
It's Trump is scary. Vote against Trump. I mean, Larry Elder. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. But this is what that states at a political level has been reduced. I mean, Clay, you and I both know California is, as a geographic landmass, basically paradise. I mean, you've got the coast and the mountains and vineyards and the weather.
One of my buddies.
It should be the American dream. Like, you go back to the 1990s, everyone just wanted to live in L.A. It was like, oh, my gosh. Not anymore.
One of my buddies and I had this debate. Imagine that we settled the country west to east. No one would live in the Northeast, right? Like, if we had started in the West, first of all, people would be like, why do we want to leave here? You know, like, we're basically living in the Garden of Eden if you were in Southern California, if we had started to settle the country from west to east. But it is pretty fascinating. By the time we got to the East Coast, like, I don't think there would have been any massive people who were like, you know where we have to live? Boston. You know where we have to live? New York. Now, obviously, I'm serious.
Boston under the bus from Clay
Boston
Travis.
Under the bus. Boston compared to L.A. purely from geography. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, when you want to be close to get back to Europe. But if you think about it from the west to east, California is an Edenic, can I pronounce that word correctly? Eden-like paradise. And they're ruining it.
And it's being ruined by libs. We can all see it. We all know what's going on. Their psycho-environmentalism, their social justice progressive obsession, all this, and just the hypocrisy too, right? The elites don't live. They live in gated communities. They live in Bel Air while they pretend to care so much about everybody else, you know, the poor. And we got Dr. Marty McCary joining us here in a few minutes to talk about his Wall Street Journal op-ed. And why is it the CDC just doesn't want to actually even have data on things like, I don't know, Clay, natural immunity maybe? Kind of important.
I would think bigly important, to use a Donald Trump word there. We'll be back with the doc next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.